This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Last night, a judge ruled that North Carolina prisons must do more to protect inmates during the coronavirus outbreak. The ruling says the state has to come up with a plan to test every inmate for COVID-19 and limit inmate transfers from prison to prison. The ruling comes in a lawsuit filed by the ACLU of North Carolina, NAACP, and other activist groups that argues that inmates must be released. I'm joined by Jordan Wilkie. He's a Report for America Corps fellow working for Carolina Public Press. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Well, tell us more about the lawsuit. What does it allege?
So the lawsuit was brought to allege that in the specific conditions under COVID-19, the conditions within prisons are unconstitutional because there is no way for people to protect themselves from a potential illness.
And what relief does it seek? What does the lawsuit say should be done?
The lawsuit doesn't have a very specific remedy. What they suggest is that a significant number of people need to be released from prison so that in each prison facility, people can achieve social distancing from each other, which they say is the only way that people can effectively protect themselves from COVID-19, such as we're doing on the outside.
All right, so let's hear more about yesterday's Superior Court ruling. What does it say, and what's the effect?
The ruling has some to-be-decided factors to it. So the judge gave a loose 48 hours to the parties in the case to write an order for the judge to review, and then he will make whatever changes he desires and then put that ruling into effect. So we don't have an actual order in place that is directing the state to do a certain number of things as of yet. The judge did say that the parties in the case need to present plans to him by noon on June 22nd, one, to test every person who is incarcerated in North Carolina for COVID-19, and two, to create a plan to ensure that all of the COVID-19 measures to protect people are executed with fidelity across all the different prisons.
So that, in effect, is a ruling. In other words, the state is now, at least by this ruling, ordered to come up with a plan for testing every inmate. Am I right about that?
Yes, that is part of the ruling, but there is going to be a broader set of directives that are in process at this moment.
All right. So then so at this point, until that all happens, there's no real deadline for that mass testing to begin or to end, right?
That's correct.
And would staff be tested as well as part of this ruling?
That hasn't been indicated here, but staff, there's already a plan in place that will continue through the end of July that allows staff to get testing for COVID-19 at a number of places that are outside of their prisons. That plan has been critiqued by SEANC and Artis Watkins, which is the organization that represents prison staff, for being inaccessible to some people. But that is what's in place. And over 1,000 correctional officers in North Carolina have reported being tested for COVID-19 through this process so far. And I believe as of yesterday, 18 had tested positive.
Yeah. And to be clear, there are right now about more than 32,000 people currently held in North Carolina prisons. So that's kind of the total number we're looking at. Let's dive into the evidence now that the judge was looking at. The plaintiff's main point is that there's simply not enough room in North Carolina's prisons for these 32,000 people to socially distance. And they suggest that releasing the inmates was one of the best options. Meanwhile, the Department of Public Safety says the prisons have taken adequate measures. So let's start with the Department of Security, the prison department in the state. What's their argument? What are they saying they've done already?
Well, the Department of Public Safety has a really extensive list of things that they have done. They froze work release, and they froze a number of programs that would release people who are incarcerated into the community to work or to visit home or to do any number of things. And it also limited the number of people who were coming into the prison system. Now, our reporting found that there was some wiggle room in that NCCIW, North Carolina Correctional Institute for Women, continued to work at the DPS offices to clean them until people became ill with COVID in April. But in general, there have been a very long list of things that DPS has put into place. The basic argument of the litigation, though, is that any number of protections can be put in place, but unless the key protection, which is keeping people at least 6 feet apart and having some social distance so that they can keep themselves from getting affected, unless that's put in place, then really the rest is nice, but not ultimately going to be effective
at
protecting
not
people
effective.
From illness.
And the plaintiff said that even the steps that were put in place weren't enough. I mean, you talked about one, women from the women's prison coming to clean DPS offices. They had then that prison had the second largest outbreak in the prison system, if I'm not wrong. Is that right?
Yep, you're correct.
All right. And there was other evidence that DPS was not following through even on their promises, this according to the lawsuit. What were some of the inconsistencies that were pointed out in the lawsuit?
Well, there was a pretty strong argument between the plaintiffs and the state about what social distancing meant and whether or not it was being followed. There were disagreements about when certain protections, masks were being delivered to facilities, when people had access to them, how effective of an intervention that actually was. There were a number of people who were transferred during the period of moratorium on transfers, except for a couple of exceptions. And the information is not necessarily available to know whether or not DPS truly limited the transfers to those exceptions, but the information was available to know that there were transfers from people in prisons with COVID to prisons without COVID, and from people in prisons with without COVID into prisons with COVID, which could have been a risk to them. And so there were just a number of disagreements about the actual implementation of policy and its effectiveness at protecting people in the state custody.
And the judge heard testimony from a variety of sources, affidavits submitted by former and current inmates, also suggesting that the prisons weren't waiving the cost of medical copays as they said they would. Is that right? That part of this argument or some of what came up during this case?
That actually came from a call that I received from a woman in North Carolina Correctional Institute for Women. That specific allegation is part of a larger set of concerns that the ACLU has presented, as well as other advocacy organizations have received letters and other news organizations have been contacted saying effectively people are seeing people, other people in prisons with symptoms related to COVID-19. They are not seeing medical staff. They are not seeing that people with symptoms are being tested quickly or being quarantined. There is a general indication that there is poor communication between prison staff and people who are incarcerated, and there are very high rates of stress and tension. And all of that is, putting people at risk for a security concern that's been mentioned both by DPS and by various observers of the prison system, saying that the fact that COVID-19 is stressing people inside and that people are not feeling that they are being protected or treated adequately could potentially be a security concern and is certainly increasing stress within the system.
And a big part of this story generally and implicit in the lawsuit is that the DPS has not been forthcoming with all the information, that even the information they're getting, if we got all the information, would indicate a far larger problem than we think we know about right now. Is that part of this?
Yes, that's the allegation of the ACLU. The main concern here is that not enough people are being tested in order to know the full scope of the problem, and therefore the interventions that the Department of Public Safety is implementing are not effective because they're playing a game without the cards. You can't take effective action when you don't know exactly what's going on. And that is according to affidavits filed by public health experts and to the arguments made by the ACLU.
And that's really the part of this that the judge has addressed. While the larger concern of the groups who brought the suit or suggestion would be to depopulate these prisons, the judge didn't order that, but rather got the testing in place and at least the planning for the testing to get underway. Is that right?
To a degree, the judge issued some guidance that will be reflected in the order that is eventually put out around releasing people from prison. So there's certainly an aspect of this that will direct the prison system to decrease its population. What that exactly looks like remains to be seen. The judge, I had a conversation with the ACLU staff attorney who's been lead on this case, Leah Kang, and she said that the judge basically directed through his bench memo the parties to consider prioritizing people who are already close to release, and he gave some guidance on how to do that and some guidance on how to think about, in general, reducing the prison population.
All right, Jordan Wilkie, a Report for America Corps fellow working for the Carolina Public Press. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me on.
You can find links to Jordan's reporting and other pieces written by the NC Watchdog Reporting Network at our website, stateofthings.org.